The Pickersgill Detentions by Andrew McGibbon, starring Ian Richardson. Episode 2, A Textbook Detention.
My name is Dr. Henry Pickersgill, and I was, for over 45 years, English master at Haunchurst College for Boys, a public school which showed great distinction before the 60s, but would now struggle to pass muster as a bad state school. In spite of these profound changes, my methods as an English teacher were, I believe, never found wanting. It may be because I was myself an active author. I'd written several books about the Age of Reform, which had garnered good reviews, and a historical romantic novel, which had not. I am grateful that I never had to teach history, because for reasons best known to the college, history for the lower school came from a tendentious and intellectually vapid text called Shank and Glanville's Anatomy of British History. And it was a source of much amusement to me that the publishers of my own works also published this very doubtful tome. My editor would listen night after night as I railed against its sanitized version of history, and how could they publish such obvious lies about our past? As a special gift to celebrate the release of my Age of Reform book, he presented me with a unique run of Shank and Glanville's Anatomy of British History, printed the way I would have written it, a very subversive work that would have got him into trouble and me almost certainly dropped by the publisher. It was widely known by my colleagues that I was, by small degrees, an unconventional master, and this would occasionally rub up against the more orthodox teaching methods of my colleagues. My dispute with one fellow master, Mr. Rodri Marshall, came to the boil during one detention in 1956. I was holding Calman, Moorcroft and Smedley back for leaving school without permission.
I've had just about enough of this, Pickersgill, you and your reprehensible teaching methods.
Just a moment, gentlemen. I'm sorry, Mr. Marshall, but as you see, I'm in the middle of holding a detention. Can this wait till supper?
Holding a detention? This is an insult and an embarrassment to the school, Pickersgill. What are you making these boys do?
Well, sir, Dr. Pickersgill is using a Mandarin marching song to help us understand how lies can be baked into folklore and made acceptable to the masses.
I didn't ask you for an explanation, Calman. What is this nonsense, Pickersgill?
Do you think this matter could wait? I hardly think this is the right place to have this discussion.
Really? I'm now relieving you of this detention, Pickersgill.
What Marshall had done was the most embarrassing and unprofessional thing in the world. To belittle a fellow master in front of his own detention is tantamount to treason in a close-knit school like this. I held my composure. I tried to reason with him.
Oh, Marshall, you always wear one for the gay and playful crack.
Pickersgill, you are relieved. Or have you forgotten I am deputy headmaster and have the power to do this?
I had indeed forgotten. He was to me so wholly incapable of engendering any respect and authority that I had completely forgotten that he was, laughably, my superior. I was losing the battle. Then support came from an unexpected quarter.
Mr. Marshall, sir, I know this may be out of place, but all three of us are really enjoying the detention and appreciate what Dr. Pickersgill is helping us to achieve.
Could we not at least be allowed to finish the song?
Certainly not! We'll do some reading instead. Have you any books here, Pickersgill?
Mr. Marshall, only these ones.
Shank and Glanville's. That's more like it. Something dependable that is also on the curriculum. I'll take those. Moorcroft,
sir?
As you're so vocal, you can begin at chapter 2, page 27. Henry IV's great rise to power.
Yes, sir. In 1400, Henry IV consolidated his grip on the throne...
Just a minute, Moorcroft.
Sir?
Pickersgill, where do you think you're going? I think it best that you sit in with the boys and see how a detention should be given.
Sir, with great respect, I think that would be most irregular.
I think it would be in the school's interests if you watched me. Continue, Moorcroft.
Archbishop Arundel was key to the success...
And so, I sat there for about 20 minutes as Marshall conducted a textbook detention. I did not feel humiliation, however. Even the boys threw conspiratorial glances at me that indicated I was a welcome member of their party, and by showing boundless deference for Marshall's methods, I had avoided the irredeemable embarrassment of walking out of my own classroom. As Moorcroft finished reading his portion, Marshall looked up and casually gave a nod to Smedley to read further. I saw my chance.
Marshall, I would very much like to read a passage. I feel I'm part of the class, albeit in a professional capacity, and I would feel a little excluded if I didn't have a chance to take part.
Ha! Pickersgill in detention. Very well.
The Cellars of Archbishop Arundel's
I started reading slowly and deliberately. After all, I didn't want anything I said to be misunderstood.
And even being a bishop is no insurance against being a nutcase. In this instance, Archbishop Arundel was in the service of a weak and unpopular king who was hated even by his own mother and died of giant warts only 7 years later.
Any more laughing, and I have the lot of you back here for the rest of the week. Continue from there, Calman.
What did we learn from this brutal period?
The boys knew the original text well enough, but Marshall had never read the book in his life, and blindly took what was printed on the page unquestioningly. Presently, it was my turn again.
Off you go, Pickerskill.
Mr. Marshall, I know I speak for the others in expressing a desire to hear you read a passage, just so we can hear how it's done.
Go on, sir. Go on, sir.
I suppose so. Arundel was in many ways something of an Albert Speer to Henry IV's Adolf Hitler, and not averse to a bit of rough himself, and probably in love with his mother, even though she reminded him of a natterjack toad. Richard II was probably murdered after being tortured.
Marshall was quite oblivious. Incredibly, he carried on reading completely unaware of exactly what he was saying. As far as he was concerned, it was in the text. The book was on the approved list, and it was a crisp new edition.
Follow the leader, don't make trouble, and check the efficacy of your sock suspenders frequently. So remember, power corrupts, but absolute power is absolutely rum. And if anyone starts waving it around, you have our permission. Yes, your faithful authors, Professor H.N. Shank and Dr. L.Y. Glanville, to shoot them before it goes to their heads. Huh. I have to say, it's a very bracing style of history, tutelage. Carry on from where I left off, Hindlerand.
Yes, sir. Richard II...
I don't believe Marshall ever truly understood what had happened. The boys, who were unhappy to be in detention in the first place, enjoyed the spectacle of the school's tightest teacher making a complete fool of himself reading from a doctored textbook. That evening, my editor's present to me became the most forceful explication of Marshall's hidebound, or should that be, bookbound pomposity. Watching a loud, pompous fellow master fall was entertaining, but when you are perceived as the pompous fellow, it's a different matter. In the late 70s, as I was approaching retirement, I also started to look back over my career. The school when I joined was a healthy public school with a fine list of benefactors, parents, and academic distinctions. But since the 60s, it had gradually lost its way, and the man leading this horrendous journey into ignominy was the last but one headmaster I served under. Mr. Mike Paulson Yabby, curious name, curious fellow. His style of headship was quite remarkable. Unlike our wonderful headmaster ARF, this man was determined to destroy everything the school stood for. During this unforgivable upheaval, he decided to take a look, as he phrased it, at discipline, and on more than a few occasions sat in on classes, extracurricular activities, and to my especial chagrin, detentions.
No, don't stand up. I'm just dropping in to support Henry and to see a detention in action. Don't let me stop you, Henry.
Very good, Mr. Pilsen Yabby.
Will do, Henry.
Certainly, Headmaster. Mike.
Odious provincial turd.
Gentlemen, I would like this evening to engage you all in an exercise about responsibility and duty.
No, Henry. Let's try something else. I think each of them should get up, turn to the one next to him, address him and say what he likes and dislikes about him. Maybe it'll help us all to understand our shortcomings and give us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about each other. Okay? When you're ready, Henry.
I felt the contents of my stomach churn, but I held my peace.
Moorcroft, I mean David, stand up, if that's okay with you, and tell us what you think of Calman sitting next to you.
Well, Calman has a habit of...
Call him by his first name, David.
Sorry, sir.
Mike!
Brian has a habit of being late for school, and he's always borrowing money from people and never paying it back.
That's not fair.
It is just not true.
Indeed.
And he's ripped off my housework while I've not been looking, and he's stolen my cassette radio.
No, I didn't. That was someone else.
Settle down, please.
No. This is good. Let it go. Let it out.
Yeah, well, he also smells and farts all night.
Excuse me.
Yes, you should hear
Okay. David, that's good. Now tell us about his positive qualities. Back to you, Henry.
Okay, Calman. Brian, tell Hindu Rand all about
it's
him.
It's Quinton, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Pulsanyabi.
Okay, Brian. Talk to Quinton.
Well, Quinton's okay, actually. He's a good sort, really. I think he's okay.
Okay. We've started with the good stuff. Now tell us the things you find difficult about him.
Well, it's like I said, sir. Mike, I don't really know him well enough to say anything I don't like about him.
Oh, come along, Brian. Is it just because he's 2 years higher than you? Age is no barrier to honesty. And there are no age barriers in here, are there, Henry?
Certainly not, Mike. I wanted him dead. Now, look here, you vile revolutionary.
What?
Get up from that desk and line up against the wall. Go on.
Where did you get that gun from?
It's a part of my past, as you are about to be, you revolting, shallow-minded, creepy, worthless destroyer of dignity. It's time for you to die.
What are you doing?
Where would you like it? In the head or in the balls?
No! No!
I think shooting the head in the head is safest, don't you?
Henry? Henry?
Hmm?
Are you listening to me?
Oh, sorry, Headmaster, I was distracted. You were saying? Sadly, I had been daydreaming.
Well, I've listed all the things I like and dislike about you, and now it's your turn to tell us the positive and the negative things you see in me.
Yes, Mike, in the spirit of openness and honesty that you've gone a long way to engender at Hornchurst, where we are all free to reveal our true thoughts, I'm afraid I really have to say that
Henry, but Mike's needed in the staff room.
Oh, okay, thank you, Dale. I'll be right there. Sorry, Henry. We're going to have to do this another time. Listen, everyone, I found this very inspiring. Do you see how uplifting it can be when we work together with no barriers, no prejudices? Don't hide the truth. Try everything once, just to be sure. Goodbye, everyone. Don't stand up. I'm not God, am I?
And with that, he was swept away to some mindlessly progressive staff meeting that almost certainly achieved nothing.
Right, settle down, everyone.
I opened my locked cupboard and handed out copies of Shank and Glanvor's Anatomy of British History.
Open it at page 27 and start reading aloud, Moorcroft.
Yes, Henry.
Just read, and as long as I'm at the school, it's sir to you.
We don't use Shank and Glanvil's anymore. It's been taken off the curriculum.
You heard your beloved headmaster. Try everything once. Okay?
Yes, sir. Archbishop Arundel was key to the success of Henry.
And so Moorcroft told us how Arundel was really just a bully boy with a small you-know-what and fixated with his mother's breasts. But the headmaster could hardly complain. After all, it is the truth, and I should know. I wrote it.
In A Textbook Detention, Dr. Pickersgill was played by Ian Richardson, Mr. Mike Pulsanyabi by Peter Wingard, Mr. Marshall by Mike Sarn, Moorcroft by Phil Cornwell, Calman by Martin Hyder, Hindelrand by Dominic Hawksley, and Smedley and Dale by Nick Romero. The soloist was Chris Batchelor. Studio production was by Jonathan Ruffle. The Pickersgill Detentions was written and directed by Andrew McGibbon and is a Curtains for Radio production for Radio 4.